Amen. We have a message up online about Enoch and the example of Enoch. I want to minister just a little while this morning on that example, what it means to us living in our day in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. That's a long time ago. He lived in a world that was becoming so very wicked that God said, when he saw what man had become, when he gave him free will, gave him something of himself in terms of the fact he gave him sovereignty. You can choose to go to heaven, you can choose to go to hell. You may not realize you're making that choice, but everyone is making that choice. If you choose to hear and heed the gospel, you're choosing heaven. If you're choosing to resist it and reject it, you are choosing hell. It's not God's will that any perish, the scripture said, but that all come to repentance. It didn't just say that all get a free ticket to heaven, just get saved. It said repentance, because you can't get saved and have sins forgiven that aren't repented of. I heard of someone who, celebrity status, who said that someone supposedly led them to Christ, but they're so full of themselves and so full of pride, and it's easier for a rich man. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And I know there's a little door beside the big gate, so when somebody got there, when the big gates were shut and locked to keep marauders out, that, you know, if you got your camel and he's loaded down, he can't get through because it's narrow, so an army can't get in without being, you know. So the camel has to get down on his knees and crawl under that little guy. Jesus was saying something so absurd. He said, listen, if you think there's some way to circumvent this, to get around this, there isn't. And it's not just the money. There are rich people that God made rich, but they that would be rich, that's the goal of their life for all that it brings them, not just the silver and gold, but the prestige, the pride, the self-sufficiency, the self-exaltation, the selfishness. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it would for a rich man with that attitude to enter the kingdom of heaven, except you become as a little child, and that's the last thing you'll see the proud and selfish sufficient becoming. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then they said, well, Lord, who then can be saved? And he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. But this particular person that supposedly became a Christian, and if you did, then that heart, regardless of the riches and the pride and all of that that drove them, is supposed to change. It's supposed to change. And they shouldn't have a problem with repenting, because you can't come to Christ without being convicted of your sin and repenting of it. This idea of come down, walk down front, do you believe this, that? Yeah, I do. Well, here's your free ticket to heaven. Forget about it. Live for the devil. Live like the devil, and you got it for life. You can come at 12. You can come at 16. You can come at 42. Doesn't matter. Here's your free ticket. That is sending a lot of people to the wrong place for eternity. Amen. It's a dangerous, in fact, it's a damnable heresy. It's not his will that any perish, so he gives everyone a free ticket. No, he doesn't. That's universalism. You're going to be saved because he died on the cross regardless. That's touching on something that many are going to stand before him, calling him Lord. So it has to be within the Christian faith. They're standing before Christ. They're calling him Lord. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. So this particular person says, in essence, about repentance, I really don't have anything to be sorry for. In other words, I'm not perfect, but I'm not sorry for anything I've ever said or done. And I thought, you need Jesus, and you need him desperately. And whoever led you to the Lord, they did it. The Holy Spirit didn't do it, because the first thing he's going to do is make you sorry for your sin. When he comes, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Amen. And that word convince in the Greek is the word convict. He will bring conviction. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. One of the great blessings, I will say, something encouraged me. I mean, discouraged me and encouraged me is a bittersweet thing. A young lady come to our church that used to come to our church when she was right with God, got wrong with God, and only came maybe once a year, might show up and made a statement to someone, they invited her back to church, you know, come back to church. Said, well, when I come to Brother Venables, I always come under conviction. And I thought, what a blessing. Amen. I'm glad there's no one sitting in this church, and you can see the chairs here that we would love to fill up. Amen. They got a place around the corner, and the lady showed it to me. They were going to displace us one time and put us downstairs around the corner, and it's kind of a big theater room. It looks like it'd hold 100-something people or more, and it's very nice. And she said, wouldn't it be nice if God filled up all of those seats? I said, it sure would. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. But God would have to fill them, because I'm not going to change the message just to get those seats filled. I want people in heaven. And I'm glad there's conviction here. If you're not right with God, you're going to be uncomfortable. I don't blame you for not smiling. You shouldn't be smiling. You get right with God. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. And there's always joy when there's true revival. So, anyway, God is good, and his mercy endures forever. We're living in the last of the last days, the perilous time. When we see these things, we're to look at it through the lens of the soon coming of Jesus. Enoch lived in a time when wickedness was getting worse, and God literally said that he repented, not that he isn't perfect, not that he doesn't see the end from the beginning, but when he saw how wicked man could become and did become, because he gave them something of himself, he breathed into him and made Adam a living soul. And that's why when procreation comes, every child that is born, somewhere in that process, an eternal soul occurs. We are spiritual beings. That's why sanctification is for the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. When procreation occurs, someone is going to live somewhere forever. That child is going to grow, and that child is going to choose. The second thing he gives beside that, eternal, go and replenish the earth. Go and replenish the earth. To me, it explains a lot of the time differentials and the dinosaur bones and all of these different things. Many people, and I'm not going to get into this quagmire of speculation except for just touching on it. If you replenish something, something pre-existed, or you can't replenish it. Just throwing that out. Because they're not starting it all. They're replenishing. That's pretty. How many buy groceries occasionally? How many, before you even, it registers, the register, when they hand you the receipt and it's this long? And you know, sometimes it's that long. And it still costs you this much. It's an amazing thing. You know what? You're replenishing because you've used it up. Anyway, giants were in the land, men of renown. It got really, really bad before the flood. And this progression toward God having to step in, saying, it repented that he made man. Did he mess up? No, he did not. He's not saying, I messed up, I'm sorry. He said, no, I created him. I gave him a garden. I took care of him. I gave him a helpmeet. I gave him instructions of how to live and be blessed. He broke the covenant, and it began a cycle where the devil, who had no influence or access, gained an influence and an access. And you know how he did it? A biblical principle in Romans 6 and verse 16. Whoever you, with a sovereign will, he didn't just make him an eternal being. You have a body, you're mortal, but there's a part of you that is not mortal, that is eternal. Your spirit is eternal. And he gave you something else that he gave them. He gave them a will. He gave them. Why did he even put a tree of good and evil and all of that? Why did he give him the choice? Because without a choice, even angels have a choice. One third of them, evidently, biblically, decided to follow Lucifer in rebellion. They made a choice. They have a choice. And he allowed them that. He made man in his image. God is sovereign. So are you. You don't have to follow Jesus. You don't have to receive the word in a good ground heart. You don't have to change one thing in your life, no matter what God says to you, shows you. You can do what you choose. You can go back. No, you can't go back. Yeah, you can. If you choose to, he's not going to make you go to heaven. We are partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. They that endure to the end shall be saved. Be thou faithful unto death, and he will give you a crown of life. These were people about to be martyred for their faith. He said, keep the faith. No matter what, keep the faith. There are people being martyred around the world. It has never stopped. The emphasis isn't on it anymore. One of the faiths that is not defended is the Christian faith. And yet the persecution is global. It's going to increase as time goes on. The Bible said perilous times will come. Men shall be part of that. Is they will be haters of those that are good. I'm not talking about self-righteous. Just choosing to have a moral compass that conflicts with the culture around us. They talk about being inclusive. Well, that doesn't include us. Can you say amen? Because the only way to be inclusive is to go along with all of the perversion and all the things happening in the world. Enoch obviously didn't do that. But he was living in a progressively wicked world. The scripture says that we, in the last days in particular, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, which means they will progressively, the word we would use now, exponentially, getting wider, broader, deeper. Amen. It's going to continue to worsen as time goes on. We're in the middle of that. We're seeing that. We're seeing it in the culture. We're seeing it in our nation, seeing it in our schools, families. We're seeing it in Disneyland. We're seeing it around the world. It's global. There are a few nations trying to hold out down in Africa, and they're being persecuted for it. And I watch NPR. I don't watch NPR, but I watched it because there was a leader from Africa and one of the small nations of the many nations that make up the Africa continent. And he was being pressured to do the things that we're allowing, promoting in America. And he said, we don't tell you, when this lady interviewed him on NPR, very, you know, woke, liberal news agency, a lot of them, most of them. They're pressuring him to do what we're doing, use our template, our model. And I love the way he answered it. He said, we don't tell you how to run your nation. We don't come here and pressure you to do what we're doing. And we will not be pressured by your nation or anyone in it how we're going to run our nation. And I thought, thank God for somebody that pushes back on those that are pressuring like they are. That's why it said, be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word conformed means to be pressed into a mold. Anybody ever heard of silly putty? I never played with silly putty. I had Green Army men because they were cheap. You could get 100 of them for a dollar. I mean, little Green Army men. Wow, my parents were cheap. No, my parents were poor. That's what it was. The Sears catalog, it was a wish book. Amen? And I even wished for my parents. I did. I mean, and by the way, we had toilet paper. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I just want to make it clear. We did have an outhouse. Yes, we did. Two-seater. I thought, who has a two-seater? We're doing well. Amen. However, I never went in there with anyone. It's some things you just would rather, you know, private. But there was a Sears catalog, and we did have toilet paper. We were not that poor. But I love to look through it. I don't know why magazines are happy there, but they are anyway. And I would see this dress in the ladies' section. I said, oh, my mama would love that dress. I wish I could order that dress from my mama. And I would see a sport coat and tie, man with a tie on, a sport coat. And I thought, boy, my daddy would love that. I wish I could get that for my daddy. Of course, I didn't stay over there long wishing for them. I turned the pages to the toy section and bicycles and what I got every year, ordered every year. I wanted a cowboy hat. I wanted two holsters. And they were leather. They made some good stuff back then. And the cap guns. I wanted Western wear. I wanted to be like the guy I saw on television. And so I'm picking out what I would love for me. Amen. I wanted all those things. Why I'm telling you all this is because it was an innocent time. It was a time when I wasn't acutely aware of all the sinfulness, all of the things that are going on in our world, what our young people are experiencing today. Auburn University recently, Google comes up with their news and said there was a mass baptism. Is it Alabama, Auburn University? Chapel meeting, once again. Young people, once again, I'm praying that we're seeing a beginning of a Jesus revolution in our day among young people that are living in a woke society, a world that is trying to press them into a mold. Amen. But the Bible said, don't be pressed into that mold. Don't be pressed into that mold, but be ye transformed. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. Amen. Listen, you know what God wants to do? He wants to put you in a mold too. We may not even get to we'll get a little of Enoch, but we may not get there because we're into this right now. And I believe the Holy Spirit is in it. Amen. Offer your body. We just sung a song and I felt like just, Lord, here it is. I didn't just raise my hands. I put my life, whatever's left of my life, in His hands. Do what you want with it. I'm not trying to make a name. I'm way past that. I'm not trying to leave a big legacy, in effect a mega church with my name out front, the Robert A. Venable Mega Church. Amen. No, I don't think that'll be my legacy. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to be pleasing to my Master. And I really want to see a move of God in my generation. And when I hear of these things, you know what it is to me? This pockets of revival that are occurring. No, it's not national and it's not global. But there are things happening globally in little pockets here and there. After the 3 years of drought, after the 3 years of barrenness, amen, suddenly there was a release in the prophet. It's okay now to pray for rain. I got to get the rain stick. We got to have this song after this kind of preaching. Praise God. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Praise God. Amen. So he prays that it wouldn't rain for the space of 3 years, and it did not. But when God said it's time now for restoration, when he saw there was some repentance somewhere, something he could restore and bless, he said, now pray for rain to come. What a difference. See, the same prophet that prayed God close the heavens now says, open the heavens, open the floodgates of heaven. And he sent his servant to go and see on the horizon, do you see evidence of rain coming? He said, I don't see nothing. There's where your faith needs to kick in. Hallelujah. Well, you better go look again, because God told me to pray in his will for rain to come. And if he wills it, it's going to happen. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petition. You better go look again and again and again and again and again. And again, am I counting how many? Seven? Was it the seventh? That's God's number of completion. He was completely ready, because the man is persevering in his will and in prayer. After seeing nothing, he comes back the last time and he said, I really don't see anything of any significance except a little cloud in the shape of a man's hand. The hand of God is going to move. And he said, he didn't say it after that. He said it by faith for that. While he was praying for it, he said, I feel the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. I feel like a frog strangler. That's Kentucky stuff. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. There's a frog strangler coming. You people living down in the holler, that's a hollow between mountains, but it's a holler up there. Amen. My dad told me about a holler that he used to go over to a church meeting, and it was called Frog Level. It must have been pretty deep between the mountains. It's real. It's a real place. Frog Level. You can go there if you want to. I don't know why you would want to, but anyway, you could go there. Get out of the hollers if it's flooding. Get up to the high ground. Go and tell. Go and tell. If you see this little something, it's coming. I knew it was coming. I don't need more evidence right now. Let's don't wait until we hear thunder. Don't wait until the whole sun is blotted out with clouds. But right now, go and tell the king. Get everybody and everything, the animals, everything up to the high ground. And so his servant took a chariot, took off. But the prophet was so excited, so anointed, so excited, so good to see God turning things around and getting ready to restore. Amen. After 3 years, now God is giving them back, going to give them a bumper crop. Amen. This rain is coming to saturate the ground. It's not coming to flood like Noah's day. It's not a judgment. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. After a drought. We've been in a spiritual drought compared to the 80s. To the Jesus movement, when you could preach the word and see people come to Jesus, preach the word and see Christians rededicate, preach the word and see Christians who didn't frown all day long, all week long, trying to tell people about a Jesus that can take care of them, that can't even take care of you. It don't work. You need a revival. I need a revival. We need a revival. Can you say, man, and we need a restoration? Because if we're as worried as they are, if we are depressed as they are, discouraged as they are, we have nothing to offer them. But if they see the difference. By the way, this guy's got a horse-drawn carriage or chariot riding full out to warn of the mighty rains that are coming. And the prophet on foot outruns him. Excited, wasn't he? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd need a skateboard. I don't think my knees could handle it. No, under the anointing of God, I can do all things through Christ. But boy, it will take him. How about it, Brother T? Amen. I tell you, he'd have to grease these wheels. Put some WD-40 on them wheels. Hallelujah. Praise God. True prophet prays for whatever it takes to bring repentance so that there can come true restoration. And when the restoration comes, he prays for that. Hallelujah. And restoration came to Israel. God is a gracious and good God. We have the privilege of a free will. And God himself will not force it. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Whosoever will. Amen. Offer your body a living sacrifice, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body. Why just your body? Because it's the container for your soul and spirit. It's talking about the whole of you. A living sacrifice, willful sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. By the way, when it says holy, if you think you've got to be perfect to make that offering, let me remind you something. The sacrifice didn't sanctify the altar. The altar sanctified the sacrifice. The prophet wasn't sanctified enough to speak the word of God in behalf of God. And he recognized it, woe is me, for I am undone, and I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. In the presence of God, you don't just want to shout and run. You want to bow. You want to repent. You want to be clean. You want to be pure. The presence of God is nothing to play with. It's a fire to burn out the drought. Hallelujah. It makes you want to get right. It makes you want to get close. It makes you want to live right. It makes you want to get holy and not sinless perfect, but recognize your separateness. Holiness and sanctification are similar, because sanctification means cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. Can you say amen? And holiness is the fulfilling that purpose. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love even as Christ. Be not conformed to this world, and be not conformed to this world. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world press you into its mold. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, literally exemplify, live an exemplary life because of the different life, different pattern of life, different moral compass, different values in life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. Don't let the world press you into its mold. Don't be conformed to it. There's a Romans 8:29. And nothing works together for good that doesn't lead to this purpose. You can't pull Romans 8:28 out and not put it in context with Romans 8:29. Romans 8:28, you're going to love it. Romans 8:29, But it comes after 28. Romans 8:28, are you ready for it? Bring it. Okay, here it comes. It's going to be easy. God is able. He's committed to this. He has the power to do it, to make all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. That's not everybody. How do we show love for Him? By serving Him, bowing to Him, keeping His commandments. Will we be perfect? No, there'll always be a struggle. That's a good struggle. It's a God struggle. Hallelujah. He knows the flesh and spirit will be in conflict. And He likes that because He knows you're not just giving in to the flesh. Hallelujah. And He gives you strength. He gives you grace. He gives you power to overcome. God is able to make everything work together. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that are called according to His purpose. The next verse is His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed, pressed into the mold, to the image of His Son. I'm not there yet. I know you couldn't tell it, but I'm going to fess up. You're not there either? I thought you were certainly there. You're ahead of me. You've had more time to sanctify. Heard a preacher got tongue-tied as me. He said, you need to be sanctified. And I thought, that may be true. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants us like Jesus. And how does He do that? When we yield and surrender to Him, and the Holy Spirit can do that work in our life. Who He did foreknow, He did predestine. You see what happens? We get to a plateau. We're as good as this one. We're as good as that one. We're as good as this one. But we're not good as that one. So we just stop growing. I'm probably much as holy as He is. Well, He's a deacon. I'm as holy as He is. She sings in the choir. I'm as holy as she is. I don't need any more spiritual cleansing and purifying and sanctifying. Jesus is the pattern. He's the template. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants to not press us into that mold. He wants us to become so pliable that the Holy Spirit can move us into that mold. That's our destiny. And that's why the fivefold ministry is for that single purpose. He said in the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, maturing of the saints, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but grow up into Him who is the head, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. I got in the elevator with a big guy. He looked to be about 25 years old. He looked to be about 6'3". He told me he was 5'11". I said, no, you ain't. He big guy. He had two sisters almost big as him. And I'm looking up to them, and I thought, you got to be 6'1 at least. He said, you think so? I said, look at you up there and me down here. I told him, when I grow up, I want to be as tall as you are. Give me a fist bump. Maybe. The fivefold ministry. They're for one purpose. That we be no more children, but we grow up into Him to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Amen. That's our destiny. And all the ministry is to be working to that end. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. Hallelujah. And when He comes, it's going to come to its climax. We'll be progressively moving in that direction until Christ comes. But when He comes, thank God, we're going to be changed. It's going to be completed. Corruption is going to put on incorruption. Mortal is going to put on immortality. And our weak flesh is going to be likened unto his glorious body. And when he comes, we're going to know him, for we shall be like him. Can you say, man, our destiny fulfilled? We can't present ourselves that way, but we can constantly, progressively be moving in that direction. That's why we never get stale. We never, and get stagnant. We never come to a plateau, said, I go to church, I give at the church, and I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't go with the girls that do, and so that's all I need to do. No, no, you're not like Jesus yet. I hate to break it to you. Amen. Somebody cut you off in traffic, the bumper sticker goes out the window. Can you say amen? That says, you know, somebody cut me off, and I just had to hit my brakes, and then they gave me the finger. They cut me off and gave me the bad finger. You know the bad finger? Don't show it to me. Don't show it to me. Amen. So don't show it. Don't worry, he said. Good. That's not it. Silly girl. So they took off and I roared up behind them. I thought, it's like the Lord said, what are you going to do? You know, it's like a dog chasing a bus. What's you going to do when it stops and you catch it? What are you going to do with that bus? Now, I did see a pit bull tear the bumper off of a police car. The front bumper, Charger, so she, all that plastic that's on them. He tore it right off, just grabbed it and yanked it off. I thought, Lord, Lord. And I just backed off and said, Lord, I had a temper fit there. I still got a temper. I still got a temper. Let me tell you something, all you meek and mild people today. Yeah, James and John were the sons of thunder, right? You got a temper? Who would have guessed? Everybody's got one. You got to control it. Be angry and sin not. And don't let the sun go down. That's not 24 hours. That's 12. You got to get this. You got to nip. What did nip it in the bud? Andy of Mayberry's partner, nip it in the bud. Fivefold ministries of mature people. When you quit wanting to be more like Jesus, you're going to be more like you. It's going to be a bad representation of him. I want to be more like him. I'm not there. I'm growing. I got saved at 12. Immediately turned away from the Lord. Got bitter and angry when my mother and dad divorced. Because it hurt me so bad. And while they were fussing with one another, my heart was breaking. I'm the only child, and I didn't have nothing to fall back on but my family. And when that was shattered, I almost had a nervous breakdown back then. And it marked me, and it marred me. And I got bitter. And I went with the rebellious crowd at school from all through my teenage years till I finally surrendered to Jesus. Came back to the Lord, but this time I put my roots down in him, got rooted and grounded in Jesus, and then grew up in him, and still growing up into him. Amen. I'm still growing up. I've not arrived. I will not arrive until I go to him or he comes. Hallelujah. But I am moving in that direction. I want to be more like my master. I was bivocational for many years. I think it was 12 years. From 50 to 62 when I quit to take care of my dad and took a cut in Social Security, 25%, to take care of him. I remember it got so bad one night, they wouldn't give us no help. The machines wouldn't work, couldn't get maintenance to come. Had a lot to do before we could go home. And I remember I just couldn't hardly take it. And there was a garbage, one of the big plastic garbage cans on wheels. And I'd seen Bruce Lee do it. And back, you know, I thought if I kick this garbage can, you know, it'd be better than kicking somebody. And, you know, so I just, I'm not going to show you, but I'm going to tell you. I kicked that garbage can over. I kicked it right over, and I looked, and two of the employees that knew I was preacher and Christian, you know, Christian first, they were looking at me like, I can't believe he kicked over the garbage can. Amen. And then I went and told them, I said, listen, guys, I'm so sorry. I just got so upset. And they said, listen. They patted me on the back and said, you're only human. It's okay. You can be human. You can kick over a garbage can if you want to. We'll respect you anyway. I said, yes, but you don't understand. You don't understand. I serve a different master than the one I used to serve. And I don't want anger. I don't want to act out in anger. Because if I do, I'm going to displease him, disappoint him, and I'm not going to be the witness I want to be. I know I can't be perfect, but I'm perfectly committed to serving him. And they got that. They got that. I didn't make an excuse for the weaknesses of my own flesh, but I didn't want to just keep giving into it. I represent a good God, a great God, and a righteous King. And I don't want to be self-righteous, but I want to be different. I don't want to be pressed into the world's mold. I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The fivefold ministry, everyone doesn't work separately for their own personal goals. They're to be in sync for His purpose. All of it. The evangelist to get the church revived and recommitted to follow Christ and to get others to come to Christ. Evangelism takes place in the world and in the church. The pastor and teacher teaching us what? Teaching us how to follow Jesus when we walk out those doors and not just come to church, but be the church when we get out in the world. Hallelujah. The teacher, the apostle, the prophet, all the fivefold ministry is for one purpose, for the maturing, perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Be no more. And the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. That is the primary ministry it's talking about. It's not the missionary field. It's not the pulpit. It's not the teacher. It's the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Because it goes on to say, when the body of Christ, all of us collectively come together, we each bring something that some other part needs. And it keeps building up the body of Christ. Amen. A lot of Pentecostals see ministry, they're pursuing their vision. They wouldn't help anybody pursue their vision because their vision and their vision is going in two different directions. But when it comes to the fivefold ministries, general trajectory is to get people saved and make disciples of all nations, not just church members, contributors to our vision. What is a disciple? Someone who denies themselves, takes up their cross. That's not the persecution and the poor old me that comes when you're persecuted. That's not your cross to bear. It's the cross of crucifying your flesh that you might truly follow Christ's example. It's all about becoming more like Him. Poor old me. They call me Holy Joe. Well, Joe, I'm so sorry for you for being holy. God bless your poor old heart. Maybe you better be a little less holy so they can accept you and just applaud you. Amen. And you become more like them instead of more like Him. No, keep pursuing being more like Him. And don't be self-righteous, but be real. Be genuine. Be transparent. Be authentic. The world is looking for Christians to be Christians. They may not like you. They certainly will not love you. But they want you to be authentic. They don't want you to be hypocritical or phony. If you are a Christian, follow Christ. And discipleship is about following Him, in effect, following His example. Ephesians 5:1, somewhere in 5, might be down in there. Anyway, it's in there. Be ye followers of God. The word follower is imitator. That's what godliness is, godlikeness. Not divinity, but different. You've got to be different to follow Christ's example. Be ye imitators as God, as dear children, and walk in love, even as Christ. His example is our example. Hallelujah. Be ye a follower of God, an imitator of God. As dear children, humble and submitted and surrendered. And be no more conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or exemplify what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Now I've heard that taught this way, and it's very wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. You've probably heard it. There's the good will of God, which he wants you to do that, but, you know, it's just, and there's the acceptable will of God. Well, it ain't what it needs to be, but, you know how they are. And then there's the perfect will of God. So you can be in the good will of God or the, oh, well, okay, I'll accept you like that. No, he's not satisfied. He's not going to be satisfied. The fivefold ministry is to bring us to the fullness of the measure of the stature. Jimmy, how tall are you? 6'1". 6'4". Wow. No wonder I got a crick in my neck. What's wrong, honey? I was talking to Jimmy for about 10 minutes. Would you stand up beside me just a moment for illustration purposes? For those of you listening that can't see Jimmy, he's 6'3". If you could see him right now, you would know. He's 6'4". Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
6'4". He's 6'4". You know what? You know what Jesus wants? Till we all come, the fivefold ministry, till we grow up into Him. No, He don't want you to grow down. He wants me to grow up. He wants me to grow up into Him who is the head to the fullness of the measure. Come on, God's not going to relent for this. We're the ones that camped out somewhere and said, I'm good enough, I'm tall enough, I'm big enough and spiritually. No, you're not. No, we're not. We got somewhere to go. We got somewhere to grow. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Most Christians are satisfied on their plateau. I got my free ticket to heaven, and I don't need nothing else. You cut me off in traffic, I'm going to lay it on you. I'll ask Him to forgive me when I get home. I'm nothing like Jesus, but that's okay. Grace is going to take me to heaven. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, yes. No, we have no desire to keep on growing. Desire what? Desire a church service designed to make you feel good? No, a church service designed to make you be good. Can you say amen? Be ye holy, for He is holy. Hallelujah. Amen. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you might stay on milk. No, that you might graduate to meat. Praise God. Hallelujah. That you might grow up into Him who is the head to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Now, if this was Jesus in type, I got some growing to do. Can you say amen? Amen. How about you? You may be seated. Thank you for letting me use you as an example. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to say, how's the weather up there? He come out today and said, what'd you say about the weather? Yeah. You're talking about the cool, drier air that's here. And of course, it's been that way up where he is for a long time. That probably happened 2 months ago for him, just getting down to us, to our level. There's a town in that Dad used to go over and play his fiddle called Frog Level. Frog Level. You know what the 5-0 ministry's for? To just bring us to a place and pat us on the back until Jesus comes. No, it's to challenge us and challenge us and challenge us so God can change us and change us and change us. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine. You mean he's got a plan? Amen. For every child of God, he did predestine us to be what? To be satisfied where we are and sit down and end any spiritual growth in our life? No, no, no. He's put in the church the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. Amen. That we might grow up into him who is the head to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Jesus is the template. Jesus is the pattern. And whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of that pastor, that preacher, to that daddy, that mom. No, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Wow. That means we never stop growing. Hallelujah. Never stop growing. I'm still growing. I want to keep growing in the Lord. Because if you camp out somewhere, the growth stops, the maturation stops. You just sit down on God and wait for him to come. If you're still here, how many are still here? Oh, it's so good to see that you're still in the building, in the room, in the world. Then God wants you to grow. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the template. That's the template. That's the pattern. And if you're not there yet, don't sit down yet. Will you ever be just like Jesus? Not down here. It will happen. But not here. Be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye, or literally be ye being, transformed. What is the template? What is the pattern? To the image of his Son. Can you say amen? That's where God wants to take us, and we're never supposed to camp out somewhere in the name of grace and say, this is where I live. I ain't going to change. I'm not going to try to. No, quit trying. He just wants you to surrender to his purpose and will. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he will always work in your life to that end as long as you're down here. Hallelujah. That's not a bad deal. He's just asking you to stay soft and pliable enough, not sit down on God and not limit God. Well, this is the way I am and I ain't going to change. Of course you're not going to change. And he's not going to change you because you've already got set like concrete. But if you'll surrender and say, I want to be changed. I can't change myself, but I want change. I want to be more like my master. I want to be more like Jesus, for whom he did foreknow. He did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. I'm not there yet, but he's still working on me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You're not there yet, but he wants to work on you. For it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. When he reveals his will and you surrender to it, he'll do the heavy lifting. You don't have to change yourself. He'll do it. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or exemplify what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. He wants you like his Son. That means we'll live our whole life out here, moving in that direction. Be no more conformed to this world. I see putty pushed into a mold. Don't let the world press you into its mold. But be ye transformed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If we don't stay soft before Him, we will harden up where we are and tell God and everybody else, just deal with it. I got grace, I'm going to heaven. I don't care about representing Him, glorifying Him. You need to care. You need to care. You need to surrender your will and care. There's room to grow. And there's a God who is committed to our growth. And He uses His Word and the Holy Spirit to bring that growth. When you lose your joy, you stop growing. This is not something that is a joy stealer. This is something that gives you joy. And you need joy for your journey, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Be no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, literally exemplify, what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. What is it? That we be no more conformed to the world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind and conformed to the image of His Son. I'm not there yet, but God's still working on me. You're not there yet, but God's still working on you. Hallelujah. And that's a privilege. That's an honor. God hasn't given up on us. Brother Venable, I feel convicted. I'm such a mess. Well, God knows that. He loves you, but He's not done with you. You're not done. Stick a fork in them. They're done. No, you don't need a fork stuck in you. Amen. You need to realize that God wants to still use me. God, I'm not too old. I'm not too set in my ways. I'm not too mean. I'm not too bitter. I know, no. The Holy Ghost is mightier than all the weaknesses of my flesh. Can you say amen? And it's God that worketh in you by His Spirit, both to will and do. He's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to will to do it so He can do it in you and through you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord in heaven, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the template. I'm not there yet. Surprise! Neither are you. That's why I'm not going to camp out where I am, sit down where I am, be satisfied where I am. God wants to do a work in you. God is not done with me. I dare say God is not done with you. Brother Taylor is the elder in the room, but God's not done with Brother Taylor yet. I'm the second elder in the room. Hallelujah. We both get the honor. He gets the chief honor. I get the second honor. Amen. Rest of you going to have to get old before you get any armor. Older, let's put it that way. I'm not there yet. But that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm growing. That's where I'm going. To the fullness. The what? The fullness of the measure of the stature. Can you imagine? Jimmy, just one more time. It won't take but a minute. Just one more time. When I see me and I see Jesus, I got some growing to do. To be the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ in my character. Can you say amen? As He's working in me. I got somewhere to go. I got somewhere to grow. And God's committed to helping me move progressively in that direction. Because I'm predestined for that. You're predestined. Every child of God is predestined to grow more and more progressively like Jesus and less like the old man, the old woman. I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about BC, before Christ. You may be seated. They can see clearly that I'm not there yet. And when you get there, you're not proud that you're that tall. You know what you are? You're humbled because you're becoming more like your Master. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and was obedient to the death of the cross. We're going to be conformed to his image. We humble ourselves, take up our cross, and follow his example. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Almost done today, but this is a heavy message. Golly, time flies when you're having fun. Only way this is satisfying to you is if you know it's God's word and you know it's God's will and you know God wants to do something in you. That you're not just sitting here getting the same old, same old, same old. You're being challenged to change. But he's not asking you to change yourself. He's asking you to change your mind and the direction of your will so that he can make changes in us. For it's God that worketh in you, both to will, reveal his will to you, and to do. Hallelujah. In our heart and in our life. It's God that worketh in you. He's not asking you to become all of this, to change yourself. He's asking you to change your mind and let him begin to change you. And don't tell him he can't. Don't tell him this is the way I am and God is stuck with me. No, he's not stuck with you. He loves you and predestined you to become more like his son. And if you'll let him, it's God that worketh. Limit your flesh. Tell me about it. Tell me about how awful you are and weak you are and the disappointment you are to God and all. Just lay it out on the line. Okay, I agree. You're rotten as you can be. Just like Crabby Appleton, rotten to the core. I agree with you. You are rotten. You are a rotten child, a bad representation of the kingdom and of Jesus. But you have Jesus and you're in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? And God wants to be released to do a work in you because he loves you. Hallelujah. And he doesn't want you to limit him. Talk about your weakness all you want to, but don't limit God in your life. Amen. Did you ever talk in tongues? Oh yes, Brother Venable. I got the Holy Ghost way back yonder. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost clearly ain't got you. Amen. But if he gets a hold of you, he's going to work to that end. Everything is working to that end till we be conformed by transformation of our mind, be conformed to the image of his son. Everything, he subdues it and uses it for one purpose. Till we all come into that place where we're like soft clay instead of hardening up. There are things in your life can make you bitter. That's why the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Justifiable anger, but it's not justified if God has shown you grace. You can't hold it. You've got to let it go. And you've got to come back to the foot of the cross and say, just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not, what is it, to rid my soul of one dark blot, O Lamb of God, I come. If we love him enough to surrender, become clay that can be fashioned in his hand, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. And it begins with the transformation of the mind. Be ye no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you might exemplify what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. It's one package. Well, I'm in the good will of God, but I'm not where I need to be, but I'm in the good will of God. Not, there's not a good will in heaven, by the way. Everything is primo. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Amen. I got the joy of Jesus today. I can't help it. Amen. I'm still growing. I'm not some old prude sitting on the bench waiting for death to come so I can get out of this world and get into a better place. No, I am still here for a reason. I'm still here for a purpose. I've still got the joy of Jesus. Hallelujah. They give me milkshakes for free. Don't they? I tell you, Lady Kai said, I don't want you to lose your job. I'm holding $5 to give. And she said, I said, I don't want to jeopardize your job. You give me 2 milkshakes 2 days in a row. And milkshakes for her, by the way. I'm just saying. Anyway. But that lady handed me a milkshake and said, keep that money. And I thought, no, take the money. I can afford a milkshake. Amen. I'm a king's kid. I'm not rich, but I can afford a milkshake. I am rich, but not that kind of rich. I want to be a witness. I want to be a witness. But everywhere I turn, there's favor from the Lord. He honors you when you want to be like Him. People pick up on something, and it's not your self-righteousness or your super sanctimonious attitude. It's your meekness. It's your kindness. It's your goodness. You know what all of that is? It's the reproduction of the character of Christ in us. It's the fruit or product of the Holy Spirit. You are empowered. I am empowered for God to work from the inside out. Reproducing what? The character of Christ. I've talked to people. I've been around people talking tongues, and they can talk in other ways. I found out that just talking in tongues don't mean they're sweet. Don't mean they're loving. Don't mean they're kind necessarily. Don't mean they're forget. Should be. Could be. Yeah, but don't mean they are. It's not a badge of spiritual maturity. They were so jealous of one another in the early church. One would start to prophesy and another would stand up and start to prophesy over the person that was prophesying. And Paul said, wait your turn. Look like elementary children trying to get in front of each other in the cafeteria. Supposed to be the mature people, super spiritual people, trying to get in front of one another. Apostles got that attitude. The mother of them said, when you come in your kingdom, I want one of my son to sit here and the other to sit there. That's a mama for you, promoting her kids. He that would be greatest among you, let him become the servant of you all. Not the big shot. That's why Jesus set an example. It's hard for them to understand the kingdom of God. They all came from their journey. They're walking in sandals on dusty roads in the heat. Their feet are killing them. They sit down. Jesus, God in flesh, as an example for us, put on an apron. Took a basin of clean water, knelt down before the disciples, loosed their sandals from their aching feet, their dusty, dirty feet, and washed their feet. And Peter was so overwhelmed, he said, no, no, Lord, no. It's I should be washing your feet, not you washing mine. And he said, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part. You don't see or understand, appreciate, and can't appropriate the kingdom of God. Because it's diametrically different than the kingdom of man and his pride and selfishness and arrogance. If you don't let me do this, you have no part with me. He said, okay, Lord, when you get done with my feet, my hands and my face also. Hallelujah. I'm going all in. And he got up from there learning how to serve, not just to usurp the authority of his apostle office. Amen. Jesus washed the dirty feet of men and showed them how to serve and how to have a servant heart. I went and sat with a son in his 30s. This pastor had taken him under his wing, and he was supposed to become a mentor to him. So he just tailed along to me like a puppy dog. All his job was to serve the pastor. Just do everything. Pastor, take him under his wing and mentor him that way. And so we were at some cookout, and I was invited. I drove up in my van, my old Astro van that I gave my daughter that she got rid of. And anyway, long story. I love my Astro van. Wish she hadn't got rid of it. Bring it back to me if you don't want it anymore. Don't junk it. I put too much money in it and tires on. Anyway, it's gone. And we give it so we don't feel bad. We give it. It's gone. It's done. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we went and sat in my old Astro van. Pope's got a Pope Mobile. I got a 2002 Chevy Astro van. So we sit and had counseling in my Astro van office. And I said, listen, because he was under the pressure, I said, listen, what a pastor is supposed to do for you is not get you under him, but get you committed to him, to become his disciple. Not to control you, not to treat you as a mere servant, even though you have a heart to serve, but he tell you how to serve God and show you by his example. It's an honor to minister to you guys today. You're his sheep, the sheep of his pasture and the people of his hand. Hallelujah. And if I do it to the least of you, his brethren, I've done it directly to him. He takes it personal. I want to bless you today. I want to challenge you, but I want to bless you today. I want to encourage you that God's not done with you. Don't limit him. Take the limit off of him in your heart and in your life. How many are not there yet? Just let me see your hand. I'm not there yet. I'm not fullness of measure, stature of Jesus. Well, join the club. The we're not there yet club. You know, I'm glad to be a member of that club. I'd love to be the president of that club. Paul was in that club. He said, in my flesh, there's no good thing. I'm not there yet. But I'm reaching forth to apprehend what he has apprehended me to apprehend. So I am progressively moving in that direction, having miracles, seeing wonders, having visions, having the revelation to write 13, if you count Hebrews, of the 27 books of the New Testament, lest I be lifted up above measure. There was given to me an emissary from Satan to buffet me. Amen. Therefore, I'm going to take pleasure in the things that keep me humble. Keep me dependent on God. Keep me from being lifted up above measure. Keep me from becoming so hardened in my own pride and self-sufficiency that God can't continue to make me and mold me into what he wants me to be. He's not done with me yet. I have not apprehended what he's apprehended me to apprehend. But forgetting the things that are behind. He's not done with me, and I'm not done growing in him, forgetting the things that are behind because they are behind, and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Most commentaries will say, I want to achieve that end of the resurrection. Amen. No, I don't believe that's all that's there. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. What is the prize of the high calling? Is it just going to heaven? No, it's beyond that. It's being just like his son, because that's our destiny, and that's the mark, that's the template, that's the pattern. And that's what keeps us growing and flowing instead of stagnating. I'm not just like Jesus. Surprise. But I pray I'm progressively becoming more identified with my Master, my Sovereign, and my Savior. Hallelujah. I got a long way to go. I'll never get there down here. But if I keep moving in that direction, God will keep progressively working in my life. It's when you sit down and give up on God and give up on yourself. Say, this is the way I am, and that's that. It's too much trouble to change. You can't change. You bet you're 100% right. But don't limit God from changing you. Because it's your destiny to become more like Jesus. And He won't. He that began, when you came to Christ, He began a good work in you. And that's the good work. That's it. It's identifiable. And He that began a good work in you will continue consistently to work in you to that end. Till the day of Jesus Christ, till He comes, everybody that's still here and alive, He's going to work to that end in our life. And the fivefold ministry is to challenge us so He can change us. Hallelujah.